Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Damn White Sox, when they lose, they don't even make it interesting.
Well, when one guy goes out there to pitch, they don't make it interesting.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but you got to hit the ball too, you know.
Hey, who's going to pitch? Boy, by the way.
Yeah.
Who's healthy these days?
I know.
Unfortunately, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel's one of the healthy guys. Sorry. I know this isn't nice, but why couldn't he have been one of the injured guys?
At least he's self-aware. I like a guy who says, I don't make excuses. I got to be better. Unfortunately, he says that after every start. And yesterday, he said, it's self-imposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things in life are self-imposed.
You know, I know that he would be really mad at me if he heard me say this, but I'm still saying it on a big radio station. And I said before the season, and Tyler, I'm not sure if you remember me saying this, but in the off season, I'm not sure if he got married or what, but he is now with Kelly Nash from MLB Network. And I don't know if you've ever seen Kelly Nash.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a bit distracted.
Oh, for love of it.
I mean, he could be a bit distracted. I mean, I am when I watch her on TV.
So, yeah.
I mean, you know, if there's a knock on my door and I see the guy's got a beard, I'm gonna go out the back door.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just saying, he's from what he was last year to what he is this year. Man, that happens once in a while. Usually, it happens here in Chicago. You know, a guy's
yeah,
a good year.
Yeah, Robert yeah. Quinn. See Robert Quinn. Well, here's the good news. Well, you know, at this rate of not getting through the third inning or whatever, usually the first inning.
Yeah.
That 2024 vesting option of 320 innings pitched this year and next, not going to make it. So
yeah, don't think so.
So that's good. So right now he's currently got 139 two-thirds innings in the old vault. So when you can't get out of the third, fourth inning, you can't. There are not enough starts between now and then to vest that 2024. Unfortunately, the money's guaranteed next year and the year following at $18 million. So
well, you know he's and everyone I know people are saying, hey, listen, what are you bitching about? You're 9.5 games up. The White Sox are 9.5 games. It doesn't.
That's we're beyond that,
right?
Okay,
yeah,
we're big picture here.
Exactly. Yeah, we understand that.
And I'm trying to figure out what the playoff roster looks like, and Dallas Keuchel won't be a part of that, thankfully. But, I mean, you know, the Gavin Sheets of the world and, you know, Billy Hamilton, when you get down to the bubble guys,
right.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how they make that lot, you know, that roster up.
Yeah, well, we had Jeff Passan on yesterday. I worked with Sylvie yesterday.
Yeah.
Waddle was in at BC being honored before their game with Colgate. I didn't check the score. Did they cover the 46.5?
I think they're playing today, actually.
Is it today?
Yeah.
So you still get down on that.
Oh, well, yeah, I could. So, yeah, 46.5. That's
Unfortunately, I bet Northwestern yesterday. I should know better, right? They never start strong.
Yeah.
And they don't beat Michigan State. What was I thinking?
Yeah, they don't. They don't. Actually, it said it was a Friday game. At least the line said it was. So maybe the line was wrong. That's what happens when I read the paper. You know, old men like me.
Yes.
Reading the newspaper. Yeah. Every once in a while they make a mistake.
Does the kid still put it on your front door?
No, I got to the point where I just accept it on, digitally. Because I hated going to the east side of 83. Because it never would go west of 83 for the five-star final. And now, with the White Sox game, I think it ended at 12:30 last night.
Well, that's because, again, you're allowing five runs and too many pitches and early. And the rain delay.
Two hours and 3 minutes of a rain delay. Right. I get in my car. I stopped at a brewery. I know, big surprise,
well,
right?
That's an upset. You buried the lead.
Yeah. I stopped at a brewery, a newer brewery, Imperial Oak out in Brookfield. I stopped there to see my buddy Chet and wish him a happy birthday along with this young lady, Mia. It was her birthday, too. So I go there.
Happy birthday, Mia.
Then I hop in the car, and it's 9:30, and they go, well, we go to the second. I go, what? I didn't know there was a rain delay. It wasn't raining where I was.
Yeah. Are you like Guy Fieri? When you walk in his breweries, do you sign the wall?
I should. I should sign the wall everywhere.
Yeah.
This one had a garage door, so they could always lift it up and not see the door. He'd see my signature. But 312-332-3776. If you're a White Sox fan, I can't believe anybody stayed with that game till the end. I did just to see if Romy Gonzalez would get a hit. No.
Dallas Keuchel's wife turned it off. Are you kidding me?
I'm sure. I'm sure. It was bad. And, you know, he was out there and he just, I've got his stats, Dallas Keuchel's stats for the last three games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last night he went three innings, seven hits, six runs, five earned.
Yes.
Two walks. So yeah. Over the last.
Hey, one strikeout.
Yeah. I know I didn't write that down. I was so aggravated. Yeah. Uh-huh. So he's 8-8. Over the last three games, Dallas Keuchel's gone nine innings. He's mm-hmm. given up 23 hits, mm-hmm. 18 runs, 16 of those earned. That's in nine innings. It's absolutely brutal. And after the game, he talked yesterday. And like you said, he's owning up to stuff. He did after his last bad outing. And yesterday, he talked about his rough couple of starts.
Yeah, right off the bat, top of my head, I can't remember a three-star stretch that's been this bad. But, I mean, I've been anywhere from the lowest of low to the highest of high and everywhere in between. So I'm not the guy that complains or gets hit around and makes excuses. I need to pitch better. I need to be more competitive, but I know what I need to do. And it's just a matter of going out there and doing it. There's such thing as trying to do too much, trying to do stuff out of your own element. And that's just a mixture of what I'm doing. So, at times you're seeing the good. And then a lot of the times the last three starts, you're seeing the bad. It's just not putting myself in position to let it all unravel like I have.
Yeah, and it is all unraveling. Yesterday, and you know, Luis Robert makes an error in the outfield and it allows like the fifth or sixth run to score. And I'm saying to myself, well, that's not going to matter.
No,
they weren't hitting.
Yeah, right.
They weren't hitting.
Yeah,
six hits last night is all they were able to muster. And that's, we had Jeff Passan on yesterday, and I started saying that he thinks that Keuchel is a guy that will definitely make the playoff roster because with the way he pitches and the ground ball guy he is, you can use him in the playoffs. And I don't ever want to see him come into the playoff game. I don't want to see him come in out of the bullpen. Not at all. I mean, you're a Sox fan. You want to see Dallas Keuchel first on the playoff roster and second coming out of the bullpen. 312-332-3776.
How does he help you coming out of the bullpen? I don't get it.
He's got to go three guys.
Right.
There's a lot of rules that don't carry over to the playoffs. Like, you know, they still play. They play until the game's over. They put a guy in second base and
the
stuff like
runner.
That. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So they don't do the ghost runner, the free runner, whatever you want to call it. They don't do that in the postseason, but they still have the, facing three batters. So
5.22 ERA.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not just the last three starts. Okay. You know, against the Athletics, you know, better. The Cubs lit him up for seven hits and six runs in an inning.
Yep.
The Red Hot Cubs, may I tell you right now.
They have four in a row?
Don't sleep on them. Okay?
Well, I did.
Pittsburgh's got too much. They don't want any more Chicago teams. It's good only two Chicago teams, right? Because
yeah.
There's a third, the Pirates will lose again.
The one nice thing for them is that at least they get to, you know, suffer and, you know, go down to Rush Street or whatever. And they stop at Gibson's or Hugo's or, you know, somewhere like that after the game. Not on the Thursday game, which was a night game, but, you know, last night.
Right.
And now they're gonna have, they got an afternoon game today with Hendricks going for the Cubs and as they look for their fifth. Yeah.
We need a little something from Kyle. Come on. You know, time to get back on the horse here.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, we talked about wagering a little bit, and I took – Tyler was laughing a little bit because I took Frank Schwindel to homer in the only game he hasn't homered in the last five, okay? And yesterday I'm sitting here, they're in the Waddle and Sylvie show, and I'm watching, and there he goes, rounding the bases, another Frank Schwindel homer, which turned out to be the game winner.
Okay. Did you ever – I think that's the first step of the program. Wagering on Frank Schwindel, homer.
Yeah.
Did you ever think those words would come out of your mouth?
Never.
I mean, good Lord.
We did ask one of the funnier things I think that Jeff Passan said yesterday when he was with us. You can always go
other than Dallas Keuchel's going to make the playoff roster.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah. You can go to the ESPN Chicago app and just go to the 3 o'clock hour, and that's when Jeff Passan was on. But Sylvie asked him. He said, "You know, can Rafael Ortega or Frank Schwindel or Patrick Wisdom? Can any of these guys?
My head's hurting."
He goes, "Can any of these guys be a factor? You know."
For the
Cubs
what?
Next year. And what Jeff Passan said, well, they could. He said, but I could be good looking or I could be rich.
Yeah.
He goes, and they could be a factor next year.
They could. Of course they could.
Yeah.
So, you could be wagering on Frank Schwindel again in next August.
I might do it again today.
Well, okay. No. Yeah, well, what are we talking about here? What in the big, Dallas Keuchel said, it was self-imposed.
Yeah.
Well, despite the 4-game win streak, the Cubs are currently, their state of affairs, self-imposed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. Keuchel went on and he did say one other thing. They asked him about what the heck's going wrong.
I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with I'm trying to make perfect pitches. Obviously, it hasn't been going well, especially the last three starts. So it's just a little bit of I'm trying way too hard in certain situations. I'm not making consistent competitive pitches. I get ahead of guys. And it's like almost I'm wasting one or two pitches, and then the count's back even, and then I'm not making as quality of pitches I should be. So, I should be sitting 5-6 innings and 65-70 pitches, and instead I'm going 3+ and 60.
It's not
a good recipe.
No, it's not a good recipe at all. And for a while there, Cease was doing the same thing. Cease would get two strikes, and then he would throw three balls, trying to be perfect and hit a corner or hit something else and things like that. Every once in a while, you think you should just tell guys, you know what? You do have, seven guys behind you, and they could field
just
the ball.
Throw the ball.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
just
they're there for.
It.
Yeah, you
but
got,
see, here's
you got
the thing
two strikes.
With, Dylan Cease is, still a project, right?
Right.
Still a work in progress.
Sure.
Dallas Keuchel is he of the $55 million contract,
yeah,
which is 18 next year, 20 the following year. I mean, again, A for self-awareness, and he can break down his breakdowns like nobody else.
Well, he's good at it. He can explain it.
Yeah, I mean, and you feel for the guy.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help the team now, and it's certainly, I mean, if they put him on the playoff roster, I mean, I don't think a lot can happen between now and October. What, is he going to get four more starts? Is he really? I mean, whatever. I explain that, because he's Dallas Keuchel and the resume says he should be on the roster, or do you go in the here and now and say, for whatever reason, this isn't his season?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's no way I can have him out there. Not when you get, when you rattle off all the guys, the four starters, okay, counting Cease, and then you rattle off the bullpen and you have Kimbrel, you have Hendricks, you have Kopech, you have Crochet. Mm-hmm. You have Bummer.
Or the starters, but you might go with the three-man rotation.
You could, right? And then if they did that, you definitely bring Cease out of the bullpen as opposed to a guy like Dallas Keuchel, who's a junk baller from the left side. I understand he throws from the left side, but I think his batting averages against were like the same from the left side and the right side. They're like 250 or 260. Mm-hmm. That's not good from either side of the plate. Not in today's baseball. Not in the way that the guys are hitting the ball nowadays. So 312-332-3776. We got a little bit of White Sox. We're going to talk a lot of Bears football, and why not? It's weird because I always used to like, and I know I'm the old guy. I used to love when the NFL season opened on Labor Day weekend. It was perfect. And then somewhere along the line, they said, our numbers show that people go to barbecues and they don't want to watch the NFL. I don't know what numbers they were looking at. I don't know an NFL player that would blow off the opening week of the NFL for a barbecue.
Didn't one guy open up a barbecue place out in Sacramento?
Yes, he did.
And wasn't he allowed to go? Didn't Mark Trestman allow said player to go out and have the grand opening?
He did. But if there was a game that week.
The inmates running the asylum. What the hell?
Yeah, but it used to be great. Now you've got, because they cut down the preseason from 4 to 3.
Thankfully.
Everybody's got 2 weeks off before that, after the preseason for the season to get underway.
It gives Ryan Pace more time to be excited about being excited.
Well, he's got to be excited about something. So we got a couple of poll questions for you on the Bears. We'll talk about that when we come back. 312-332-3776. You want to talk White Sox baseball? You want to talk some Bears? We're going to be here all the way till 11. And don't forget, today, the first day of the College Football Tailgate Show, Black and Abdallah, they'll be here at 11 o'clock getting you all ready for a big day of college football. And there's a ton of great games going on this weekend. They'll be here to talk to you about them at 11 o'clock here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Huebner here on ESPN 1000 till 11 o'clock. Then college football tailgate with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Brian, one other thing that we talked about when Jeff Passan joined us yesterday, and again, you want to hear the whole interview, you can go to the ESPN Chicago app and track it down to the 3 o'clock hour. But we were talking, and I said, you know, maybe it's just, you know, us crazy diehard fans that get too nervous about stuff, but there are times where the White Sox just go out there and don't hit. And I guess that can happen with any team, especially when the playoffs come around. You got good pitching and things like that. But it's things like that that concern me. And I says, is it just us? He goes, yeah. He goes, fans are stupid. And but he's right. And I think that's it happens a lot, you know, because we get nervous. We go, well, what if they slump and, you know, they go to a hitting slump? Frank Thomas, when he was in the playoffs with the White Sox back in the day against Toronto, couldn't hit the – every time Frank would swing, he pops it up. Oh, God, you know, I kept thinking about Harry Carey. Wouldn't be a home run in a phone booth. But, you know, your big hitters, the way the White Sox are, they were a team that up until, like, the end of July or the middle of July weren't hitting homers at all. And since then, they've been doing nothing but hit homers.
I don't know which really is the personality of this team, right? I mean, the only consistent thing has been inconsistent, even the good parts of it.
Right.
So – I mean, but the good news is, you know, Abreu's just named player of the month.
Right.
You know, Louis Robert comes back. Grandal came back with a big power bat.
Moncada's got a 17-game hit streak, which is weird because as I was watching it through the first 12, I put a thing on Twitter. I go, has anybody had a quieter 12-game hitting streak? Because all you need is one. All you need to do is go 1-for-4. And he's not driving the ball like we'd seen him. He's just getting that hit. And I know it's like we're complaining about making a lot of money.
I'm sorry. Getting one hit in 17 consecutive games, that's a difficult task.
No, it is.
Just as Javier Baez.
But it's a 250 average. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get you.
For the most part.
We've asked, you know, check the temperature on White Sox fans throughout. You know, if the playoffs start today, how do you feel about it? You know, last week, I think Mark Zender and I had a Twitter poll. You know, if they started on Sunday, how far do you think they'd go? A World Series, ALCS, or an early out?
Right.
And week to week, you could probably make a case for any of those three, right?
Sure. Sure you can. There's, I guess yesterday on ESPN.com, they had 17 baseball experts from ESPN, and they talked about who they thought was going to be, what the matchup was going to be in the World Series. And I didn't read the article. Tyler didn't read the article. And Sylvie had us guess who they had playing in the World Series. And I guessed the Yankees and Dodgers. So I think Tyler guessed the Yankees and Dodgers also. And it came out to be White Sox-Dodgers. And that surprised, really? That surprised me a little because, you know, we always talk about the East Coast bias and stuff like that when it comes to baseball and the Yankees are
played so well. I would have selected Dodgers as well, and I'm still not sure about the American League. I mean, I don't.
It's so up in the air. You think about it, too, because right now the wild card game, the phrase I hate because it doesn't end today. If the season were to end today, the Yankees would be playing Boston, then the winner would play Tampa. So the White Sox are almost a shoe-in to play the Astros in the playoffs. That's not necessarily a good thing.
You know what's really odd with the Yankees, too? Rizzo and Gallo have done, you know, other than the first week or so, first 5 days for Rizzo.
Yeah.
They've done nothing offensively. I mean, really, nothing. And yet, the look of the lineup with those left-handed bats has gotten Stanton and, you know, the big right-handed bats going, right?
Yeah,
you have to pitch around guys now, and you can't. So it's weird that they haven't actually produced runs or home runs or a lot of offense, but their presence in the lineup has helped spark the Yankees' revival here.
It is just their presence in the lineup. I don't know if it's allowed better pitches to be given to Judge and Stanton, but they've been hitting like crazy, especially Stanton. I mean, every other day he's hitting home runs. Or
no Frank Schwindel there.
No. You don't need one of those Frank Schwindels.
No.
Let's go to our guy John in Evanston here on ESPN 1000. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I've pretty much focused on the playoffs in the National League. I think the one team that could give the Dodgers, should they get by the Giants, because it looks like they may be facing off first, would probably be the Braves offensively, because they could put up numbers. And I'd like the Dodgers to take the National League. In the American League, think the only team in the American League offensively that can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers is the Astros. Their offense is unbelievable. And they've got Gerrit Cole, who this guy, I mean, in the playoffs, this guy's automatic. And the Dodgers have the pitching, but I think, you know, the Whites, as far as the Sox go, and this is, I think Houston might win this whole thing, but as far as the Sox go, they're a young ball club. And if they make it to the ALCS this year, that's great. I mean, and if they whether they play the Astros or whoever, I just like them to get there and get their feet wet in this thing as a ball club because they're going to grow. I mean, this team is so young. That's why their defense is so up and down. Their offense is strong, but their infield has some problems from time to time. They make bad throws, but that's going to happen with a young ball club. But they're going to mold into something. But, you know, the Astros just seem to be the team to beat for me in the American League this year.
Well, are we all just forgetting about the Rays, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I know. They do nothing but keep winning, and right now they got the best record in the American League.
They have the most runs scored, too.
Yeah, yeah. What were you saying, John?
They can't beat the Dodgers. I mean, the Astros can beat the Dodgers. I just don't see Tampa beating the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One thing at a time, John, appreciate the call. Getting to the World Series would be nice. And then, you know, could you imagine? I mean, they would just love it. The network would just love, you know, L.A., New York, L.A., Chicago, either one of those. They would absolutely love. The thing about the Yankees is their starting rotation doesn't compare at all to what the White Sox have.
No.
Okay, I'm looking at it. I want to make sure I had it right. So you got Gerrit Cole, Jameson Taillon, Jordan Montgomery. Then you've got this kid, Nestor Cortez, who the White Sox couldn't hit. And then Corey Kluber's just come back. So, you know, if they get a lot out of Corey Kluber as they go along, that'd be nice. But I think the other guys are definitely beatable. Gerrit Cole, I'm not so sure about. Right. But when you go into the rotation or a playoff series for the White Sox with
Rodon, Lynn.
Yeah, Rodon, Lynn, Giolito. And then if you need to go to a fourth cease, I mean, that's pretty darn good, and especially
really
with the bullpen
good.
They have. And the Sox bullpen is better than the Yankees bullpen and better than most bullpens, you would think. It's just, you know, if they bring Aaron Bummer in, you'll hear that scream from the Western Burbs. Because just open your window because I'll just yell it.
You won't have to open your window. You'll hear it anyway.
You probably will. 312-332-3776. Yep.
Well, when we come back, I want to tell you what 538 has.
Okay.
You know, projecting in their algorithms and all their computers about World Series chances and see if you agree with them.
Okay, because, and then maybe election results, too, because that's where they...
No, let's not do that.
That's what 538, I mean, they're good at that kind of stuff.
Right.
And those are regular stats, there's analytics, and then there's 538.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like a step above and beyond all those things. We've got a lot of Bears to talk about. We'll get to that in a second. Want to make sure we got some baseball in here because everybody seems to want to talk Bears. So I want to make sure we squeeze some in, especially after that bad late White Sox game last night. We'll get more White Sox baseball tonight as they take on the Royals once again. Ronaldo Lopez takes the bump, and he's been doing nothing but pitch amazing.
Everyone loves Ronaldo Lopez now.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Exactly. I know it's very weird, especially when you saw what his numbers were in at Charlotte before they called him up. He was pitching. Mm-hmm. He was awful.
Yeah.
And he's done nothing but pitch well for the White Sox. So we'll talk a little more White Sox. We'll get to some Bears stuff. Don't go anywhere. We're here till 11 on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
So a little bit of White Sox talk before we get into some Bears. And, we've been talking the station here. We've been talking Bears for I don't know how long. And basically since before, heck, OTAs. And it's a year-round sport and a year-round talking now of the NFL.
The draft got us talking in earnest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
not
sure.
Not because of Jenkins, but because of Justin Fields.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Jenkins was nice to the idea of it anyway.
For a while. Yeah, it was a nice concept. drafting a guy that can play the left tackle position, that's always a nice thing since they so rarely do it. Sylvie brought up some great points yesterday. He said because Ryan Pace's first round and high draft picks for wide receivers and tight ends were bad. They had to spend money on that, so they haven't been able to concentrate on building the offensive line. So it looked like they actually made a nice move by getting Tevin Jenkins in the draft.
Even though they're going to move positions on him,
right,
which is
exactly.
going to be difficult enough.
Very difficult.
But hey, we were aware of his one back issue, and this was a different back issue, and that's supposed to make it feel better. That they took care of the new back issue, and they didn't think the other back issue was a much of an issue.
Yeah.
But that leads us to our Bears poll, Twitter poll questions.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we got two of them. First one is, with the Rams opener 1 week away, which position is your biggest concern for the Bears? Cornerback, that's C, cornerback, O-line, quarterback, with a Q, or head coach. Okay, that's still a position. Because I didn't want to bring in D-line or linebackers or tight ends or the other stuff. I think these were the ones that I've heard a bunch of different people, and when they talk about the Bears' problems, they usually mention these three, and then it always comes back to the fourth with the head coach. So cornerback, offensive line, quarterback, or head coach. And when it gets to quarterback, you've got one that you wanted to put up too.
Yes, correct. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch made, you know, they kept talking about, well, maybe we'll play both quarterbacks in Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And a lot of people didn't actually think they were going to follow through. Well, guess what? The last preseason game, that's exactly what they did. They rotated two quarterbacks in and out with some very good success.
Yeah, they did.
And it appears that they are seriously considering doing that when the real games start next week. So as a Bears fan, would you like to see the Bears utilize a similar system? Because Andy Dalton's your starter. Just asked Matt Nagy. We didn't promise him the job. We just told him it was his.
Right.
And we obviously know that there's a big contingent of fans out there, myself included, that would love to see Justin Fields as soon as you can see Justin Fields. Sooner the better. So would you want to see them utilize that, keep defenses on their heels, make them account for two types of quarterbacks? So the options are yes, you would like to see that system. No, you wouldn't like to see that system. Or C, only if Shanahan is the Bears coach.
I watched that game too, that preseason game. And it was funny because Garoppolo was in for two downs. Then they brought in Trey Lance for two or three. Then they brought Garoppolo back in. Then they got the ball to the 1 or 2 yard line. And you would figure this is perfect for Trey Lance to run the ball in. They brought Garoppolo back in, and he ran the ball in.
Right.
See? So, you know, you keep the defenses guessing completely. And the way that Fields and Dalton, the way they look at quarterbacks, you can't have the same game plan for both of them.
No.
Not, you can't. I mean, so it would make so much sense to do it that way.
See, but the other argument is that the Niners, because Jimmy Garoppolo has just enough athleticism.
Right.
That he's not Trey Lance, but he's not a kind
Andy
of
Dalton.
Statue. Yeah, he's not, exactly. He's not going to just, yeah. So, I mean, but it is an interesting concept, but you'd have to trust the Bears coaching staff to figure it out and utilize it to the best of its success possible, right?
Yeah, yep. 312-332-3776. Larry in the South Side jumped out. I want to talk some baseball. Larry, what's up?
Yeah, I got two things. Okay, first of all, the Cubs game, right, yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw something I couldn't believe. You got one double-A team and one triple-A team facing each other. And you're thinking
at
the bottom of the ninth inning, these people standing up, taking videos and stuff. Like, what am I seeing here?
Yeah.
But, and as far as the White Sox game, Keiko, the 85-mile-hour fastball ain't cutting it no more, okay? It's not doing it. Just like with the Cubs, with Hendricks, 90 miles an hour, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People are starting to hit this stuff, you know? So they need to cut it out, get him off. I know they owe him a lot of money, right?
Oh, they owe him a lot of money.
They owe him a lot of money, and they probably – but they can't just sit him in a bullpen and hide him, maybe?
Keuchel. You put him in the bullpen, I mean, you're doing more than hide him. You may as well tell him not to dress for the game because you don't want to see him coming in.
So, but, I mean, okay, so you owe him $18 million next year and $20 million the season following. And again, the good news is, at this pace, he can't vest enough innings between now and through next season to make 2024 a player option, thankfully. But, I mean, is this a one-off season? You just, you know, hope he goes works in the offseason and he's back to being Dallas Keuchel of old?
That's all you can hope for, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Or once you lose your game, you lose your game.
Yeah. There's always that possibility. You said before the break you had 538 had some stuff about the
teams. So they're in agreement. You know, again, when everyone thinks one team's going to be in the World Series, you usually want to start thinking about a different team. But
right.
The Dodgers, to win the World Series, highest percentage odds to win 30%.
Okay.
It's not even close. I mean, they double the Tampa Rays. Okay, so again, we discounted the Rays, but they're sitting there at number two. With projected 100 win season to the Dodgers 102, and they have a 15% projected chance to win the World Series. The aforementioned Yankees are sitting at 8%, but the Astros, to our John's call, was 14%. Now you start getting down to your Chicago White Sox. And even though they have the healthiest division lead and all that,
right?
And they're projected to win 93 games, and only a 5% chance to win the World Series. And by the way, that was 7% at the start of this week. It went down 2 percentage points.
Huh.
So I, again, we were just saying they're a home run hitting team. No, they're not a home running team. They can't hit at all. No,
right.
They're a great pitching team. They have a great bullpen. No, they don't have. I mean, it just, there's enough inconsistency there that.
To make you worry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the numbers in at least 538's numbers say they have the least chance to win a World Series of the projected playoff teams.
Last Monday on Cap and Jay Hood, Danny Zetterman, the Cub fan, was saying, you know, if I was a White Sox fan, I'd be concerned. And this was after the White Sox scored 17 runs, no runs. And 13 runs, or they might have got
Cubs.
One run. Yeah.
Yeah,
they might have pushed one across in that Saturday game. I tried to
again,
forget that one.
Are the Cubs the double-A team or the triple-A
team? I know.
Team?
I wasn't sure about that one.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, White Sox fans were calling, oh, you're a Cub fan, doing this. Danny was right. I mean, a lot of White Sox fans are concerned because you don't know which White Sox team you're going to get on a day-to-day basis. And having Tim Anderson, who we thought was going to be out for a couple of games because of sore legs, now going on the IL, and they say, well, we will rest him now. It's a good time to rest him. We see how important it is to have him at the top of the lineup and how important it is for him to get on base. It's kind of like referring back to the Cubs, kind of like the old Dexter Fowler when Joe Maddon.
He go, we go.
Yeah, that's right. He go, we go. So that's how it is with Anderson.
TA, they're basically a 500 team when he's not in the lineup.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Give or take a game.
Yep.
I think, you know, last time I saw it was the beginning of the week, I think. And squarely a 500 team, which is amazing that he has that kind, given all the big names in that lineup, right?
Yeah.
Guys who can carry a team for a week or two or half a season. That's how important he is, which is amazing.
Yeah, so. It really is. We're going to talk a lot more football coming up. I wanted to make sure we played some of this because at this time of the season, there's always a lot of good stuff happening. And there was great stuff happening last night. The Dodgers and Giants played. Toronto and Oakland were going at it in Toronto. And the Yankees were playing the Orioles, but the Yankees have been red hot. They won 13 in a row. Then they lost a game. Now they've won a couple. So I wanted to play some of these highlights from last night from Major League Baseball.
1-2 the count now. How it ends. The Dodgers will surely ask for a replay review, but Trey Turner's throw pulled Will Smith off the bag, and the Dodgers will ask for the replay review.
Now they've got nothing to lose but the game. All the time in the world, and he knows Posey's not going to put a lot of heat on the play. This game's over.
And he's got another base hit. Valera around third. And he will come in to score. RBI single for Vladdy, and it's 8-3. 3-2 again. Ball four to force in a run, and it's 8-4. And the batter is Lourdes Gurriel Jr., representing the tying run. From out of nowhere, the Blue Jays score 6 runs here in the bottom of the 8th to tie the game.
Two outs and nobody on. And they just never gave up.
Again, the 2-2. Fastball hit high and deep to left field. And the Blue Jays win it.
One of the most dramatic comebacks we have ever seen here at Rogers Center.
So the Yankees have a chance to win it in the bottom of the 11th inning. It's 3-3. The ghost runner this time is going to be Aaron Judge, who made the final out of the 10th. And Giancarlo Stanton will lead off against Dylan Tate. Grounded up the middle. That's a base hit. Here comes Judge. Mullins comes up throwing. And the game is over. Yankees win 4-3. A walk-off single by Stanton. And the Yankees get it done in 11 innings.
Yeah, that's how the Yankees handle that ghost runner. The first pitch, Stanton hits it up the middle. Game's over. Let's go home.
How's it a ghost runner when I can see the guy?
Well, you know, Casper, you know, he's got the little, he's got, you can always get Casper. I don't know why that was. Hey, but those Toronto highlights, it was 8-2. They scored 6 runs to make it 8-8. Then they're trailing by 2 runs. I think it was 10-8.
And then, nobody on. Right?
Yeah. Well, and then Semien hits a home run to win it 11-10. And they're about a year away. Their guys. I mean, Vlad's having a great year. You got a lot of other guys in Toronto. Marcus Semien's got like 34 homers. It's crazy where his home run powers come from. But
those are Canadian homers. So
yeah, it is.
Translate that, yeah,
you're
to
right.
US.
It's only about 20, 24,
it's like
25.
Yeah.
That's like, I was buying a greeting card yesterday, and I was looking for – I'm going to a wedding today. Our guy, Fat Mike, he calls the station sometimes. He's getting married today.
Yeah.
And so I'm going and I'm buying a wedding card, and there's another lady there, and she's looking – we're looking at wedding cards for like 10 minutes, each of us. And finally I find one, and I said, this is a pretty nice one. And she goes, oh, it looks nice. I said, yeah, for this price, it's not bad. I said, in Canada, I don't know if I'd buy it. It's $3 more.
You said it says on the back of the card what the Canadian
does. It does. Yeah. It was $7.99 here. It was $10.49 in Canada. I said, in Canada, I might not buy them this card. I may have to look for another one. But here.
Fat Mike's card is worth about $7 or $8.
That's right. There's no, I'll spend the $7 or $8. There was a $4.50 card. I said, I need to spend more than that on a Fat Mike card.
When did greeting cards become that expensive?
I know. And there were more. There were others that were more expensive.
I mean, is the writing, the sentiments gotten better?
I think they use thicker paper.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I hope your marriage works, you know. I don't know.
We'll just leave that last one out. Yeah. Callers, hang in there. Bear fan Bob, we'll get to you when we come back. We'll talk some Bears. We're here until 11 o'clock. Then it's the college football tailgate right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
So we got White Sox baseball later on today as the Sox play the Royals once again. Also, it is Saturday, so always on Saturday we have White Sox Weekly. That gets underway at about 3:30 today with Connor McKnight, and then the White Sox go against the Royals. Ronaldo Lopez getting the start. We're going to talk a lot of Bears from now until the end of our show at 11 o'clock, and then it's college football tailgate with Bleck and Abdallah. Huge day in college football, the first big day in college football, and it's a big one, and the guys will be here to talk to you about that at 11 o'clock. Let's go to our guy, Brian. Bear fan Bob joins us. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Labor Day to y'all.
You too.
Anyways, question this morning. My greatest concern is going to be Coach Nagy. Play calling is a huge issue. Plays need to work together. One play leads into another, you know, that way these things work together. Like when you're third and short, you don't get the slanty-eyed fling master out there and want to throw the ball. I don't know. How about run the ball forward for a yard or so and see if that works for a change? You know, things like that. Play to the player's strengths instead of their weaknesses. You know, when I see things like that, I would, tend to change my mind. But really, with not so good of a line, he's not helping the team. He does more to hurt the team than help the team. You know, those were kind of my thoughts on the topic, and great topic. And guys, have a great day. Thank you.
Bob,
thanks, Robert.
Appreciate it, Bob. I think a lot of people, and Sylvie brings up great points. I should listen to him more often. No. He mentioned something yesterday about Matt Nagy. And Matt Nagy seems like a great guy. Everybody says you love to have him for a neighbor. Mm-hmm. But maybe if he was just the head coach and not the play caller, maybe the Bears would be better off. He seems like he's a great guy. He can, the players respect him. They like playing for him, this, and this. But his offensive play calling leaves a lot to be desired.
And yet he had to take it back, right, from Bill Lazor.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, because why? Because of ego? I mean, because you feel like you know better? Here's the thing. He keeps talking about how much he loves David Montgomery.
Right.
He keeps talking about, I'm not an idiot. I know we need to run more. I mean, how many times, different ways he says that during the course of a season? Montgomery had the last six games of last season, 598 yards on a 5.2 yards per carry average, seven touchdowns. He finished with 1,070 yards, which is no longer the standard that it used to be. I get it.
Right, right.
Why wouldn't you have faith in running the ball more, no matter your quarterback, and especially with your offensive line? Now, they have to block up the run. I get it. But we'll see. I mean, look, if Matt Nagy is giving back the play calling duties to Lazor again this year, then obviously things went off the tracks again. So right now, all you can hope is he gets it right, and there's no need to even have that discussion or have people wondering if it'd be the smart thing to do. But they did it last year. They seem to have gotten a boost, at least in the short term. And then immediately at the end of the season, he has to take it back for whatever reason. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. And like I said, it was working well last year. I'm still confident. I'm confident till I won't be confident. Mm-hmm. But I'm confident that Matt Nagy, after he did see what happened with David Montgomery last year, how he didn't use David Montgomery in the preseason, I'm confident that he's going to, despite the fact he may not want to, he's going to give the ball to David Montgomery, especially when Andy Dalton's in there. And they're going to try to establish some sort of running game. I don't want to see him run the ball twice into the line and then try to throw it on 3rd and 10 and then go back and try to figure it out again and then say, well, the run wasn't working. We want to go. Well, you know this, Brian. In all of football, the run's not working. Well, we got to try it again next time. You can't just give up on the run.
With
Kansas City, he did it, and he did it here last year.
You have to be committed to it.
Yeah.
And you have to have faith in it. And why wouldn't you have faith in a guy who has proven that he's a productive runner and he's, you know, he gets a lot of those yards on his own. Here's the thing. You can't go another season where you come up with empty first quarters and 3 points for a half.
Brutal.
Absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
And if you're the offensive guru and that's what you were, you know, that's what we were all sold on when he was hired from Kansas City, that this guy was ready. You can't go. I mean, he's 12-21 over the last 2 years against the spread. And in the first half of games, the unders hit almost exclusively because the Bears don't score points.
Right.
So that has got, if you know, the team that scores first in the NFL, like in pretty much any other sport, the win probability is huge.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You can't be trailing. You can't be chasing a lead as often as the Bears did. And they're only favored in 4 games going into the season. That's how tough the schedule is. Right?
Yep. It's very tough. Yeah. Facing good quarterbacks, good teams, and they open it up with Matthew Stafford and the Rams next Sunday night. It's going to be a tough one for the Bears to start out there. Then they come home and they get, I want to make sure, they get the Bengals then, which you would think it's still a Joe Burrow learning and everything else for Cincinnati. A lot of people think the Bears could optimally go 2-2. With the first 4. That would be nice.
That might be best case.
Yeah, that would be the best case scenario. 312-332-3776. Callers, hang in there. We will get to you. We're going to talk a lot more about the Bears, a lot more football talk coming up. 312-332-3776. You can always get to me on Twitter at Fred_Huebner and Brian at BrianHanley538. That's right. 534. Well, yeah. 538, some other guy I know.
Yeah. He might respond better. Try that one.
Brian Hanley at 534 on Twitter. You can get to us that way. You can watch us on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago, all that stuff. And don't forget the college football tailgate coming up in about an hour, 11 o'clock here on ESPN 1000.